Steve, can you give me a projector, please? Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word, we again ask your blessing upon us here now, that as we turn, we would find instruction and guidance and direction for our lives, and especially today, you give us that same direction for our homes, for our families. Father, help us truly to learn about faith at home. What a difference that makes in our homes, in our church, in our community, indeed in our world. We do pray that the words of my mouth, together with the meditation of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd like for you to consider two families in colonial America in the early 1700s. The first family is the Edwards family, and the father is named Jonathan. He was a pastor. His most famous sermon was titled, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Among Jonathan Edwards' descendants are 14 presidents of colleges, more than 100 college professors, more than 100 lawyers, 30 judges, 60 doctors, and more than 100 pastors. That's family number one. The second family is the Jukes family, and the father is Robert. This family seldom attended church, had numerous excuses, and were Christian in name only. Among their 1,200 known descendants, 310 were professional beggars. 440 died from alcoholism. 130 were convicted criminals, and only 20 of them learned a trade, and 10 of those learned that trade in prison. The point? The family has the opportunity to make a deeper and longer lasting spiritual impression than any other organization in the world, and that includes the church. That's why in this series of four sermons over the next 5 weeks, a series titled Faith at Home, that today we're going to look at the home as being a seminary. Now, the English word for seminary comes from the Latin seminarium, which is translated as seedbed, a seedbed. Seminaries are where the seeds of God's truth and grace are generously, faithfully, and abundantly sown. And that summarizes what Moses had to say in the book of Deuteronomy, that the home truly is a seminary. You heard it earlier when Adrian read it. I'd like to reread just the latter part of that lesson from Deuteronomy once again. Chapter 6, starting at verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That was Moses' strategy for encouraging the Israelites to decide that day that their home was a seminary. Now here's how it works. In this home seminary, the faculty are the parents, not the parish. Again, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. This is the toughest, most extreme job in the world. Parents truly need to be faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. They have to be able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. You know, people should look up in the sky And they should see not a bird, not a plane, they should see Supermom or Superdad. There are few schools where parents can learn their job, where they can get training, and even then, there's no general agreement on what we should do. Most of the time, parents have to make it up on the fly. We get no holidays, no vacations, no union benefits, no cost of living raise. We work 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for at least 18 years for every child we have. And besides that, most of the time we have to contend with an administration that has two CEOs. Need I remind you what the dynamics are that come into play when there are two CEOs running a company? The Bible speaks about that, about a house divided, how it cannot stand. Now, one family expert has written, "I regard this as the hardest, most complicated, anxiety-ridden, sweat and blood-producing job in the world." Every parent here could say amen. Now, Luther writes, "Most certainly, father and mother are apostles, bishops, and priests to the children. For it is they who make them acquainted with the gospel." Parents are not simply responsible for seeing to it that our children are spiritually trained as much as we are charged with doing it ourselves. And that makes us a little queasy, doesn't it? You see, as parents, we tend to parent our children in the areas of our own personal competence. If a father is some type of macho, jocko, sports stud, it's not uncommon for little boys to get footballs or baseballs or soccer balls when they're 2 days old. And when the little guy is just a month old, dad says, "Come on, get with it. It's time to start pumping some iron." You know, we tend to parent our children enthusiastically in the areas of our own competence, be it music, cooking, fishing, woodworking, whatever. But here is the problem for many parents. Many parents don't feel competent in spiritual things, and so they delegate that responsibility to others. But in the seminary of the home, the faculty members are the parents, not the parish. And the curriculum is a relationship, not a religion. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and live." And I'm scared that children are growing up confused about this. Christianity is more than a way of life, more than a moral code. And please, let's not just reduce it to just showing up at church when we feel like it. It's a living relationship with a living God. Also, Deuteronomy 30, "Love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." I think of it this way. In 1986, Bob Brenly was playing third base for the San Francisco Giants. In the fourth inning of a game against the Atlanta Braves, Brenly made an error on a routine ground ball. Four batters later, he kicked away another grounder. Then, while he was scrambling after the ball, he threw wildly past home plate. And a few minutes later, he muffed yet another routine play to become the first player in Major League Baseball history to make four errors in one inning. But you know what happened to Brenly in the bottom of the ninth inning of that same game? He hit a home run up into the left field seats to win the game. Children make mistakes. They sin. They err in judgment. Then schools and friends and teams and coaches remind them of their mistakes. Children need to know that they can get up and get back into the game, and they will only be able to do that with a relationship with Jesus. And finally, the method of instruction in this seminary of our homes is our lives, not our lips. Again, from Deuteronomy, it's chapter 9, verse 9. When I went up on the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord had made with you, I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water. Deuteronomy 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a servant like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. Moses talks about his leadership and about passing that leadership on to someone else. The two most powerful words that spiritual leaders can say to a spiritual learner are follow me. Follow me. It's what Jesus spoke to each of the 12 who would be called his disciples. Follow me. Walk with me. Talk with me. Watch me. Listen to me. You know, parents, and today especially fathers, this method has never been improved upon. Follow me. Christianity is caught, not taught. You know, I grew up in a little town not so different from Mayberry. Ron Howard was a role model. He was Opie on the Andy Griffith Show. Later, he was Richie Cunningham on Happy Days. Eddie Haskell, I'll leave it to Beaver, was the closest thing to an anti-hero that I knew growing up. Needless to say, times have changed. Now media bombards our children with people that do and say things that are unimaginable. We live in a world for which we need to prepare the coming generations to face. The truth of this day, the home is the seminary. The home is where the seeds of God's truth and grace are generously, faithfully, and abundantly sown. The church cannot do it for you, but we will do it with you. The home is a seminary. It has a faculty. It has a curriculum. It has a method. It has a mission. My friends, school is in session. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon Christ Jesus unto life eternal. Amen. We confess our